Financial freedom isn't what most people think it is. It's not a personality type or a salary bracket or something that only happens to other people. It's a series of levels. And once you understand the levels, the whole thing stops feeling impossible and starts feeling like a plan. Five levels, each one building on the last, and each one making the next one easier to reach. Not harder, easier. The first level doesn't even require much money at all. It's just requiring honesty. But I'll get to that. The top level, level five, that's the one that most people picture when they hear the words financial freedom. The point where your investments cover your entire life and work becomes something you do because you want to, not because you have to. And yes, ordinary people get there. Not just high earners, not just people who got lucky, people who understood the levels and worked through them one at a time. I know because I've talked to them and I've done this myself. So today, I'm giving you the map. Where you are, where you're going, and what it actually takes to get from one to the next. And wherever you are right now, whether you're drowning in debt and just trying to get a grip, or you're already investing and wondering what comes next, this episode will help you to figure out where you are and where you should be aiming for next. So welcome to Making Sense. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee. I'm Frances Cook, a financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. Let's get into this. So level one, freedom from fear. You know your numbers. This one doesn't need any sort of actual income level or investments. In this one, it's your knowledge that you're investing in, and it's the knowledge of your own situation that creates this first level of financial freedom. Easy to roll your eyes at this one, but don't, because this is the crucial first level of financial freedom, and you don't get anywhere without it. Knowing your numbers means you've sat down, actually sat down, not just vaguely thought about it in the shower, and you've faced the full picture. What comes in every month? What goes out? What you owe and what you own? I don't care how you do it, but I do care that you do it in some kind of written form, not just in your head, because that's how you keep it real and honest. Some people use a spreadsheet. Some people write it down in a notebook. Other people use an app. Don't care. Whatever works for you, just make sure you do write it down, because then it's not just a rough idea or a feeling. It's the actual numbers. Now, here's why this matters so much. You can't make good decisions with bad information, or even worse, no information. If you don't know how much debt you've got, you can't make a plan to clear it. If you don't know where your money is going, you can't redirect it. You can't figure out if things are getting better or worse. And look, I'm a little bit of a vibes girl myself. I much prefer to operate on vibes. That's why almost all of my money is automated and set and forget, because I hate doing this stuff. I do. I get it. But you do need to sit down and fully figure this out at least once, because this is what everything else will be built on. You can't get to level five without level one. And just knowing what's happening, you'll start to see patterns. Change starts in the background just from looking. So many of us try not to take this first step of financial freedom because if we feel like we're doing kind of okay, then it's comforting not to look. Because what if the actual numbers are scary? And I've been there, done that, but there's a reason this is the first level of financial freedom, because you do get that first taste of freedom when you actually sit down for this. Because the debt exists whether you open the letter or not. The numbers are the same whether you've checked them or not. But what changes is when you look at that, Now you can actually do something about it, and most people start making automatic, unconscious changes when they actually look at this properly and start keeping an eye on it. Now, how do you get to level one? One afternoon. That's all it takes. Sit down with your bank statements, your KiwiSaver balances, any debt you've got, and write it all down. Total it up. That's your starting point. And if the number is ugly, that's okay. Ugly numbers that you know about are so much more manageable than ugly numbers that you're pretending don't exist. And once you know your numbers, you have done something that a huge number of people have never done. You've faced your financial reality honestly, and you can't reach the other levels without having done that. And you've built freedom from the fear of your numbers. That's huge. Now you're ready to build more freedom, take different financial steps, but you never get anywhere if you're too fearful to look. You need the freedom from the fear of your money situation. That's the first thing you cut. And you step onto that platform of the level one financial freedom. From there, now you can see the next level. And the next level, level two, your financial foundations are sorted. Now, my job means that I have to read a lot of academic studies. I actually love it, but I do read a lot of them. And do you know what comes up over and over again in all sorts of different studies from all sorts of different places? That a lot of people are incredibly stressed about their money. Maybe that's not surprising, but what might surprise you more is that this stress is at all different income levels. Six-figure earners and minimum wage earners, a lot of them are just as stressed about money. The percentage of stressed people doesn't actually change that much. And do you know what's the number one thing that reduces money stress at all those different income levels? A change that can be brought in to most situations that makes the biggest difference? Having emergency savings. A bank account with cash in it, it's usually between $1,000 to $5,000, is the biggest way to reduce money stress. That is financial freedom that people underestimate. Reducing stress, reducing the background hum of worry. And it really can be that simple. So that's why this is level two, because level two can be a huge stress reducer. It's getting those financial foundations sorted. And it's actually not just one thing here. It's three things that reinforce each other to build this foundation. Once you have all three, you'll feel the shift. The first is stability or self-sufficiency. And this is your income covers your bills, all of them. No parents topping you up or relying on credit cards. You're able to stand on your own two feet. Really easy to underestimate this and how important it is. But there is huge freedom in not owing anyone else anything. And we often don't give ourselves credit for this, but it's enormous. Now, the second one, cushion, specifically an emergency fund. Money sitting in a savings account, not invested, not in KiwiSaver, just sitting there, accessible, that covers unexpected costs without destroying everything else that you're working towards. Now, there's a couple of different rules of thumb here on how you put together your cushion. The first is to have $1,000 ready for life's curveballs. And the next after that is to have 3 months of your core expenses covered. So only the things you'd really have to pay, like rent, food, electricity bill, transport, 3 months of those core unavoidable costs in a savings account. Now, without a cushion, every unexpected expense is a crisis. The car repair, the vet bill, it goes on the credit card, it sets you back, it undoes the progress. With a cushion, it's just an annoying, yes, but just annoying expense that you deal with and move on from. You start with that $1,000 goal, you build from there to the 3 months of expenses, and it's huge freedom, both financially and mentally. And then the debt, specifically getting rid of high interest debt. And buy now, pay later counts. Sorry, I know people don't want to hear that. I know those companies like to pretend that they're not debt. They're lying. That's marketing to make you feel more comfortable with debt, because research shows we don't like credit card debt anymore. So they rebranded it. But the fees, if you miss a payment, are huge. So don't be tricked. A mortgage doesn't count. That's the only one. It's a long-term, lower-cost debt that helps you build up an asset. Anything else that is debt, especially high-interest debt of any form, if you owe people money, it's working against you. Every dollar you're paying in interest to a credit card company is a dollar that could be building your future life instead. Getting rid of that debt is one of the best investments you can make, because debt means the same thing is costing you more money and you're having to mentally juggle it. Give yourself freedom from both of those things. Getting to level two can be a tougher grind than some of the other higher levels, particularly if you have high interest debt. It's just not as fun putting these foundations in place and paying off debt. I know, I understand these early levels are a little bit hard. Something like investing feels more fun, but you've got to lock in these foundations because they're what get you to the next more fun levels. And when you do, when you lock in level two, celebrate it, because level two of financial freedom, the freedom you're building here is so real. You have removed mass amounts of stress from your life, and it is just going to feel so good. Quick interruption to say, if you're enjoying this episode, you'll love The Market Memo, my weekly newsletter where I teach you how to actually invest. No jargon, no spreadsheets, just real talk about shares and how to make your money work for you. It's the thing I wish I'd had when I was starting out. You can sign up for free at francescook.co.nz/invest. That's francescook.co.nz/invest. But don't worry, I'll put the link in the show notes and the description of this podcast. All right, back to it. Level three, you have real choices. This is where financial freedom stops feeling theoretical and like you're celebrating things that, okay, you know, it's good, but it's not that exciting yet. Level three is where it starts to build up that real excitement. And then it starts being something you can actually feel in your daily life. At level three, you get serious about investing and you build up enough that you have a real safety net. This is not quit your job forever money, but it is, I can change some things without tanking my life kind of money. And you've actually heard some examples of this on the rest of the podcast. People I've spoken to who say, yeah, you know, I couldn't retire from work forever, but they did do things like take 6 months or a year off and they could go traveling, see the world. We had a couple of people who went traveling long-term with their kids and the investments helped them fund some of that. Or they had those investments so they knew they had something to come back to and they could just live really frugally while they took some time out. Some people will use this to fund a career change or to try out a business idea that they've got. How much you need to have invested here will be totally different for different people because it will depend how much your life costs you. But the point is that you can take this time to breathe, reassess, look at what's next and what you actually want, and then level up with a serious safety net under you. Level three is often what makes those next really big, really exciting levels possible. This is where I was at a couple of years ago before starting this business, this podcast, that I had built up enough investments in the share market, enough savings, and had paid off a good amount of my home, even if I wasn't mortgage free. But I'd built up assets, paid down debt, and had things ticking along. And then when my boss at the time decided to really screw with me, and what's worse, they decided to do it right as I was about to go on maternity leave. And the combination of that deep deep disrespect and the timing of it, I was just like, you know what? I don't actually have to put up with this. You think you've got me over a barrel? You don't. And I'm out of here. And I left, sent in that resignation email, and I knew I had about 6 months of financial room, thanks to my investments and my savings, that I could still financially provide for my family while I gave something new a shot. And I launched this business. And it turned out this business was huge for increasing my income, which has then opened other doors and financial possibilities. But I couldn't have taken that risk if I wasn't at level three, if I didn't have that safety net. Because the reality is, I did still need to put food on the table for my kids and keep a roof over their heads, because that's life. I could, however, make a risky jump that, if it paid off, would pay off really big. But I had that financial safety net to do it. And then it did pay off big. And this is what I mean about each level makes it easier to reach the next level up. And that's why we need to see this as levels of financial freedom, because it's not just jumping to level five, it's that each level snowballs up and makes it so much easier to reach the next one. What seems impossible when you're at level one. When I was at level one, I genuinely, truly would have thought my current situation was impossible, no matter how much time you gave me. And yet, under 10 years, I'm living a totally different life. So at level three, you're not fully financially independent yet. You still need income, but you are no longer completely trapped by the need for income either. There's a meaningful difference between those two things. And once you cross that line, you really feel it. At this level, you have enough invested in shares or whatever that you have genuine options that you didn't have before. You could take a pay cut to do work that you actually love. You could take 6 months off if you needed to. You could leave a job that's making you miserable without it being a financial emergency. You could negotiate your hours, your conditions, your rate from a position of strength rather than pure desperation. And because you're coming from that position of strength, you can achieve so much more. Now, in practical New Zealand terms, just to give you like a rough figure to work off, this might look like having sort of between 50,000 to 150,000 invested outside of KiwiSaver so that you can, you know, access it. The exact numbers are going to depend on your income and your expenses, but that's a little rule of thumb marker for you to bear in mind. Really, the feeling is what marks this level, because the feeling is, I have options. The amount that you get from what's invested might not be huge yet. You're making money at this point, but it's not an amount that would replace your income. But still, those investments are real and meaningful. All right, level four, your money is working as hard as you are. This is where keeping up the good habits you created in level one will pay off, because this one can actually sneak up on you, believe it or not. Because you keep investing, you keep putting your money to work, and one day you sit down for a little check-in on your numbers and you realize, oh, my investments are nudging along to almost make me the same amount that I make from work. Now, at this point, again, rough sort of general figures to give you an idea, you might have something like $200,000 to $300,000 invested, or maybe more than that, depending on where you live. Again, it really depends on how much your life costs and what you've invested into. That's why a lot of the people who are chasing financial freedom like to live quite a cheap life and invest into investments that do a lot of heavy lifting, like the share market, because then you're working both ends of the scale. You've got investments working really hard, building up your cash. You've got a cheaper life so you can get there faster. However, you will have needed to invest to get to this stage, because saving every dollar into a savings account would take so long to build up to this sort of nest egg. Earning every dollar of that, you will need years and years and years to get there. But if you invest it so that your money is making money and earning alongside you. And then you reinvest that money so that you've got profit making profit. Then it will build up so much faster than you think. And that is how normal people get rich. That is why I'm obsessed with investing and have so much about it on this channel, because you need your money to be making money alongside you. Saving will not get you to level four. And it certainly won't keep you at level four, because your money needs to produce an income for this to work. And it doesn't have to be weird or really intense investments either. I own absolutely zero crypto or NFTs or whatever. I find gold interesting, but I don't buy it myself. It's just shares and property. It really can be that simple. Put money in regularly, stick at it, reinvest what you earn, and you get here faster than you think. The defining characteristic here isn't a specific number. It's that your investment returns are now doing meaningful, heavy lifting, not just quietly ticking along in the background. Here's what that means in practice. So, average return of the share market, once you take out things like fees and tax and inflation, it's about 7% a year. So in a reasonable market year, $300,000 invested, 7% return gives you $21,000 in a year. Now that's not your entire income, but it's real money that arrived without you working for it, without you trading time for it, just because you had investments and time on your side. And now you're seeing the winds building, because at level two, compounding returns are doing something. At level three, it's doing more. But at level four, it starts to feel like you've got this second job that requires nothing from you. A job that doesn't take your evenings, doesn't require a commute, doesn't have a difficult manager, and yet it's still paying you. And there's also a psychological shift that happens here. Up until this point, it probably felt like a lot of sacrifice in order to build something. You spend less, you invest more, you have to make some choices where you're picking the future over the right now. At level four, that changes. You're getting momentum. You're getting something back. You're getting rewards. The future you've been building towards is arriving. You're not pushing the boulder up the hill anymore. It's rolling, and your job is just not to get in its way. What gets you to level four, though? Time, and consistently doing the things you know you need to do. Regular investments, building your income, investing more, sticking with it through market ups and downs, reinvesting returns rather than spending them. The people who stall out between level three and level four usually do so because they let lifestyle inflation eat the returns. Every time the portfolio grew, so did the spending. So you never get the chance to truly accelerate. And the antidote to that is simple, if not always easy. Just because it's easy for me to explain doesn't mean it's easy to do. But it will be easy to do if you know what you're aiming for. You have to commit to getting your investments to grow faster than your lifestyle does. Last, never least, level five. This is what people think of as financial freedom. Work is optional. And if you want, you never have to work again. This is full financial independence. Your investments create enough income to cover your entire life permanently. If you choose to work, it is purely a choice. Fun money or fulfillment or whatever, you could walk away from everything tomorrow and be completely fine. Not fine as in getting by, fine as in your financial life just runs itself. Now, what it's run by is some maths called the 4% rule. And we know I don't love maths here on this channel. So I promise this is pretty simple maths. When you're doing something like investing into the share market, probably a global index fund, keep your money spread around, then a rule of thumb is that you could take out 4% of the value every year without ever running out, because it's creating more profit than that. So bad years or inflation or whatever else, you stay ahead of that. You keep replenishing the money from the good years, even as you're using it, when you're using that 4% rule. So if you have $1 million invested, you can safely withdraw $40,000 a year. If your life costs $60,000, you need $1.5 million invested. If the life you want costs $80,000, you need $2 million invested. And again, this is where investing helps you grow money, because that would be insane to earn all by yourself, going to work and then saving. It would take you so long. You would have to live such a frugal, miserable life. You will have to invest it to get to a goal like this. Your money needs to be earning money that you can then put back in and put to work. So it also shows you can get here faster or slower based on what you want from life, right? If your life costs less, you'll get here faster. If you want a bougier life, you'll need more invested. This is why I like the levels framework rather than just financial freedom or not, because every step up these levels makes the next one so much easier to get to. I actually think it's harder to go from level 1 to level 2 than it is to go from level 4 to level 5. Level 1 to level 2, you're making some big life changes without much behind you to help push you forwards. You're having to really dig deep, find some motivation, and tell yourself, I believe in myself and I know I can do this. Level 4 to level 5, well, you kind of just got to keep going to get there, and you've got all of this positive reinforcement because you can see it working. You've got the evidence. You know it's done well. You're feeling like a success. But also, through these levels, you build up the knowledge and financial habits that help you keep this going, to make it a life you keep, not just this little blip of success that you lose, like a lottery win or something. If you've been investing consistently since the earlier levels, you can get here faster than you think. This is the thing the conventional wisdom about money gets completely wrong. It treats financial freedom as something that happens at 65, if you're lucky, after a lifetime of work and sacrifice. But the whole point of building through these levels, the mindset changes, the investing, the consistency, building wins in a way where you keep them, the whole point of all of that is that it pulls the timeline forward significantly. People on ordinary incomes get here in their 40s and 50s. Some people even manage it in their 30s, not by doing anything weird or extreme, by starting and not stopping. Now, I do have one word of warning about this, because I would say I'm at level 4 rather than level 5, but I talk to people at all stages of this, including level 5, because I have the best job in the world talking to people about their money. And there's something that can happen at level 5 that you really need to be prepared for. You have to figure out who you are without financial necessity as the anchor. Let me explain what I mean on this. So much of our identity is built around what we do for money. The job title, the busyness, the sense of being needed. I know I fall into this trap to this day. I love feeling needed. Why do you think I'm in a job where I try to help people by explaining money and how to make their money lives easier? I have found an outlet for my chronic people-pleaser tendencies. But so many of us do that in some form through our jobs. We feel important or needed, or we just give our life structure and meaning through our work, and yet can feel quite trapped and overwhelmed by that at times. So when that financial pressure and necessity is lifted, almost everyone who hits level 5 finds they're suddenly smacked in the face with an identity question that they hadn't prepared for. What do I actually want? What does a good day look like when I'm the one designing it? The people who handle this moment the best are the ones who started asking those questions long before they arrived at level 5. They're the people who had been slowly building a picture of what a well-lived life looks like for them, not just accumulating resources to fund it. There's a little saying that I think helps, and it's the idea that you want to retire to something, not from something. What is your good life? What are you doing all of this for? And that actually clarifies the financial goals too, and what you'll need to get there, because once you're honest about that answer, maybe the money you need for it is less than you thought. Maybe you want to keep working just in meaningful work on your terms, and that would be part of your good life. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you want to volunteer for a cause that you really care about, but there's no way there would ever be money in it. Or maybe you want to be able to spend as much time as possible with your kids while you can. Or you want to have a ridiculous, time-consuming hobby and also hike every morning. Look, whatever your good life looks like to you, it could be so different from what everyone else wants. What matters here is that you could do it entirely on your own terms. No fear, no pressure, just creating the life that you want without money getting in the way. That is what level 5 actually feels like. Not the absence of work, the true absence of fear. And it is that fear and pressure lifting off more and more through all of these different levels that is really the point of this. Sure, it's money, but it's using money to build a life. And the levels framework is important because I truly don't believe that financial freedom is a single destination that you just arrive at one day. You build more and more freedom in a series of shifts, each one making your life better, a little bit less constrained, a little bit more yours. And you can start today with level 1, just the numbers. So that's it. If this episode helped you, send it to a friend so that we can all level up our money together. Until next time, have a great day. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most situations. It's not individual financial advice. If you're after that, a financial advisor is always the best bet.